probably some challenge to find folks who at the present don't wish they'd have owned a bit more Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, or Tesla in their portfolios over the past year. And I couldn't blame them a bit. That sextet has outperformed the rest of the US stock universe by such an amount that, without them in the mix, double-digit gains for the year at the broad market level would have been losses. These six companies are hard to ignore, try as many might. Much of what the world does on the internet passes through one or more of their devices, utilizes one or more of their applications, rides atop one or more of their platforms, or crosses one or more of their networks. In many ways, then, the range of successes each company has made over the past decade has been almost unavoidably experienced by us all. It's no surprise, then, that their stock prices have responded positively to those successes. That does not mean, though, at least from an investment theory standpoint, that the stock response has been justifiably commensurate with past and potential future success. Over shorter-term timeframes, investors can be drawn to the idea that recent success will continue in perpetuity, that periods of exemplary growth are just a glimpse of what the future has in store. What we think investors should be careful to observe, however, is the connection between past and potential future growth, and the extent to which such trends already have been incorporated into stock prices. Take those six names mentioned earlier. Each has been seen as offering relative fundamental stability and even growth during the pandemic. For examples, Apple and Microsoft both saw year-over-year growth in revenue and earnings in each of the first two calendar quarters of this year, despite the broadly deleterious effects that the global pandemic has had on much of the global economy. The rest of that group fared not as well as Apple and Microsoft, but certainly not so poorly as so many other companies in the investable universe. And their stock prices seem to have responded positively to that relative stability and growth. As we wrote in this month's commentary, that group has added close to $3 trillion in value through the end of last month, with the rest of US stocks having dropped in value in the aggregate over the first 8 months of the year. So it's obvious to us that investors are pretty psyched about big tech, as each company's stock price can be seen as reflecting the collective investor assessment of that company's future. Moves in individual stock prices, relative to the market then, can be seen as shifts in investor sentiment regarding each company's future relative to the rest of the market. A fine way to gauge relative expectations are valuations. Valuations, in shorthand, generally reflect the ratio of the stock's market capitalization to some measure of corporate fundamentals. Market capitalization is the stock price times the number of shares that are owned by investors, or shares outstanding. Measures of corporate fundamentals include a host of metrics, including, as examples, assets, earnings, and revenue. Valuation ratios generally start with price to, followed by the fundamental measure. Price to book value, price to earnings, and price to sales are some basic examples. When we compare valuation ratios across firms, we can gather a sense of investor sentiment for the future. Higher ratios are generally understood to reflect higher expected fundamental growth. That is, a higher level of expected future growth already is captured in the stock price. Stocks with lower ratios, generally considered value stocks, reflect relatively weaker future expectations. Take Amazon as an example. Its shares now trade at a price-to-earnings ratio, or PE, of just under 130, using the trailing year's worth of earnings as the denominator. That figure compares to a PE of just under 75 a year ago for Amazon shares. Underneath that valuation expansion, we can see that, while Amazon's fundamentals have improved, its stock price has grown even more quickly. Now, let's compare that valuation to that of the market, of which Amazon is a large component. The S&P 500 now trades at a PE of a comparatively meager 27 times trailing earnings. That's still much higher than the sub-20 times level of a year ago, and higher still than the longer-term history for that metric. Again, it's a story of valuation expansion, as share gains have outpaced improvement in corporate fundamentals. Nonetheless, Amazon's valuation, when compared to that of the overall market, suggests investors have baked a good bit of wholesome growth into the Amazon cake. All six of those companies mentioned so far traded premiums to the market, actually, and their stock gains this year, therefore, can be seen as investor decisions potentially based on extrapolations of recent performance into the future. That is, by bidding up the prices of those stocks, investors have brought forward that expected continued success and incorporated that potential success into their stock prices. In investment terms, they've discounted a relatively more positive future for those stocks. First thing to note then, assuming investors ascribe similar assessments for future macroeconomic and other non-company specific risks across all stocks, is that for incremental gains to be had in those stocks relative to the rest of the market, those trends must likely will have to come in even better than the now higher expectations. That is, expectations will have to improve even from here for future returns to be substantially better than the market going forward. So, for those darling stocks that have represented nearly all the gains in the domestic stock market this year, one might ask just how reliable are investor expectations for those companies? And in turn, just how likely their positive stock momentum might be going forward? Well, past market history offers some measure of review. As we often have noted, value stocks have tended to outperform growth stocks over time. Why might that be? Well, one view suggests that investor opinions about the future might be biased towards the extreme. For value stocks, perhaps investor pessimism about the future is too strong. And on the flip side, for growth stocks, perhaps expectations for future growth are just too grand. Zooming in from the broader market, each of the stocks in that group of six maintains a history that warrants a reasonably cautious review of present expectations, one in particular. Since the early 1980s, Apple shares have vastly outperformed the broader market, up by more than 20% per year, versus a still great, but much lower 11-ish percent per year for the market. Over that time, however, Apple has experienced far greater volatility, along with periods over which it substantially underperformed the broader market. We can find five periods, in fact, during which the drawdown in Apple's stock, meaning its maximum decline from a prior peak, exceeded the maximum decline in the broader market over that same period by 30 percentage points or more. There were two periods, actually, when Apple shares lost more than 60 percentage points more than the market did over the drawdown period of Apple shares. Each of those negative excess periods followed a period of outsized returns for Apple's stock. And looking back at those periods of strong performance, one might read that investor expectations may have gotten more than a bit ahead of the fundamentals. So, the gist of it all is that momentum can be fun until it isn't. While we believe it helps to incorporate aspects of momentum investing into an investment methodology, we don't find it prudent to focus an investment approach solely on that factor. Certainly, we think most investors should avoid buying a small number of stocks just because they've gone up, in particular when those gains aren't strongly supported by adequate fundamental improvement. Meantime, with market history as our guide, we continue to believe that our tilts towards those companies that investors may find not so appealing at the present should serve up incremental gains over the long term. Importantly, past performance is not indicative of future results. The foregoing commentary is not presented as an investment recommendation. The approach described may not be right for everyone. No one listening to this commentary should take our comments as advice specific to or appropriate for their individual situations. Individual circumstances should be taken into consideration when determining a suitable investment approach. All investing carries risk.